Welcome to Higher Calling Wildlife with award-winning wildlife journalist Chester Moore. From deep investigations to interviews with top experts, Higher Calling Wildlife is the place to get informed and inspired about all things wildlife.
Welcome to Higher Calling Wildlife. This is Chester Moore. This is part 5 of our series on feral hogs. If you haven't heard the rest of these, go back and listen. Really interesting stuff. We're continuing our conversation with John Tomacek from Texas AgriLife about feral hogs, the most successful invasive exotic in North America. Now, moving beyond the toxic issue, just hogs in general. I know for years you guys have had materials and have consulted with landowners. Something I hear sometimes is about smaller landowners dealing with hogs, limited resources. When you're on a smaller tract, maybe you have owned 100 acres or 75 acres, and you have a little bit of agriculture trying to hunt it. What are some of the most effective ways to deter hogs or to deal with hogs or to put some pressure on them to might let them know that maybe this property isn't a good place to go?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I would point out here that with smaller tracts, that's all relative depending on the part of the state you're in. Mm-hmm. I've got friends out in the Trans-Pecos that say if it's smaller than a square mile, it's little bitty.
yeah,
right. I know. So when you're on these smaller tracts, the thing I always recommend, and this can be hard, is get to know your neighbors. Pigs don't care about fence lines.
Yeah.
And if neighbors can work together and put together a block of land to manage, that's very effective. Beyond that, you can work together as neighbors to be cooperative with management tools. On a very small tract of land by yourself, you can always trap pigs, right? That is always a great solution. You can erect fencing. If you've got very tight net wire fencing, that it won't keep pigs off. There's no such thing as a pig-proof fence, right? And the old joke is if it'll hold water, it'll hold pigs. But in that case, you do cut down on pig traffic, and that gives you a more manageable number to handle. If you're just interested in running pigs off, of course, shooting at them will run them off.
Yeah.
But then they go somewhere else. They cause a problem for your neighbor, and they do eventually come back. Studies have shown that it's not a permanent deal. They avoid you for a while, and then they come back. So I always recommend to people, trapping's a great idea. If you can work bigger country with your neighbors, that gives you the option of things like aerial shooting, which is a great idea. And, you know, one day if we've got a toxicant in the toolkit, we'll have good conversations about when and where that can best be applied. There might be places where other tools are just not possible to use or they don't work for people that something like a toxicant would fit in.
I've actually talked to some hunters here in East Texas that are, you know, that are hunting on hunting leases and stuff, and they're basically not using corn for deer anymore, not feeding deer. They're just going back to hunting trails and natural food sources because, you know, hogs will run a circuit. You can hear a feeder go off, go over there, then they run to the next feeder, and they kind of get, and of course, they eat everything they can, but they're saying they're having less interaction with hogs and seem to have, you know, pretty good success with deer, kind of going old school and not putting as much corn on the ground.
Well, and you know, that's always a good idea. We also live in a world now where we're more aware of disease issues out there than we used to be. And I like to emphasize to people many diseases that pigs can carry, you and I can get, some of which are lethal to us. So we like to avoid them whenever we can. And if you're not doing something to concentrate the pigs, then that's a good world to live in.
Let's go over some of those diseases. And those like pseudorabies.
Pseudorabies is one. That one's a pretty big concern for animal agriculture. And pigs are actually very susceptible to it. So for folks involved in ranching, pseudorabies is pigs are a great sentinel for it because they will get it long before your cattle do. The ones that we worry about in terms of people are things like brucellosis. So swine brucellosis is communicable to people. Another one that we don't talk about a lot is hepatitis E, which is the swine variant. So hep E is lethal to people. It causes liver and kidney failure if you don't get on it pretty quickly. And with all of these things, these are diseases that most of your doctors are not used to looking for. So anytime I encourage all sportsmen, sportswomen to do this, if you get sick, when you go to the doctor, please tell the doctor what you do and what you hunt. As biologists, many of us carry cards in our wallet that are an advisement to emergency medical folks. This person's a wildlife professional, may have been exposed to the following diseases. Mm-hmm. Just to trigger that in the back of their mind, they might mm-hmm. see a set of symptoms and go, oh gosh, mm-hmm. that might be this. Then they know yeah. to test you for it, and then they can do something about it.
Mm-hmm. You know, and hogs, you know, are so prolific and pushing so deep into urban and suburban areas as well, you know, and that's a big concern of mine in particular management wise, because once they're in a city limit area, to me, they're 10 times harder to get rid of, because you're not going to have a guy with the AR out in thermals at night in the city park. And yeah, it's trapping has its limited effectiveness. Yeah. And things like that. And so you're, you know, even people who might maybe from a rural area that would even think of a hog disease or have to come across and dealing with these animals may have some issues that they never thought of before.
Correct. And that is one of those things that urban environments are just another tricky landscape we work in and provide different challenges when it comes to all kinds of wildlife management, but especially pig issues.
Mm-hmm. Would it be, I guess that may come under the Texas Department of Agriculture auspices, but would the toxin warfarin thing be something that maybe municipalities might consider for hog control?
You know, it's a great question in the future, and that's going to have to be something that municipalities figure out for themselves in terms of what may or may not work in their landscape.
Yeah. You know, hogs are so, I wrote a book about hogs, so obviously I'm interested in them, but, they're such an intelligent animal. They're very, you know, they almost have a sixth sense about them, you know, especially older boars and stuff like that. And,
yeah.
you know, these animals can hide in areas and live in areas you would just never, ever expect to see them. And what happens now is someone's walking Fifi the poodle in the city park. And then, you know, here comes a big old boar. Oh, look, it's a pig, you know, yeah. and the dog goes off and the pig goes off. So we're having all these human wildlife confrontations. And I kind of like to end our conversation on that, about the human wildlife conflict aspect of this. A lot of people, I was just in Yellowstone a month ago and mind boggled at watching people taking collies down trails where I saw a grizzly a half mile away.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And a lot, if you look at a lot of the hog human wildlife incidents in the last year in places, because someone was walking a dog or around a dog. What would your recommendations be if all of a sudden your city park has hogs in it, or in some of these hiking trails that have a ton of hog activity in relation to bringing dogs in?
Yeah, well, my strongest recommendation to municipalities is when you start having those issues, you need to be proactive and do something about it, right? So,
yeah.
so the issues with the dogs, whatever else, it's a symptom of the pigs being there,
yeah.
and a symptom of the fact that pigs very quickly learn what is and is not a threat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a ticking time bomb. This is a situation where municipalities need to protect health and human safety, protect people's pets, et cetera, mm-hmm. by being proactive and getting rid of pigs when they show up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I tell you what, you know, it's interesting how different places are dealing with it. I know that New York banned hog hunting a few years back. I believe Kansas did as well, with the idea, because look, I'm a hunter. And hunters do a lot of great for conservation, but the reason feral hogs have spread as much as they have, because hogs are released all over the state.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just a fact. They were released all over the state, and whether it's low fence, high fence, they get out, and we have this explosion. And I think the theory was that, hey, maybe if they have a lower numbers already because of some fenced hog releases, we can keep a better check on it. But mm-hmm. it kind of boggles my mind to restrain a hunter who's on the stand and saying, hey, you can't kill a pig if it walks by, you know?
Yeah. You know, in some of those cases, it was on public lands. So they yeah. were saying, you know, on public lands, we've got government folks that are working. So please yeah. don't shoot at the pigs, because that makes uh-huh. it harder. And it's a waste of taxpayer money. And then in some cases, places said, you just can't sell a hunt on pigs. You can hunt yeah. them, but mm-hmm. you can't make money on it. And that was to try to take away that incentive to keep pigs around.
Yeah. It's interesting because, you know, I think in America, we either have feral hogs or you'll have them in 10 years, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I'll end on this adage. I do apologize. I'm overdue for another call I've got to take. But the old adage is, you know, if you killed the last pig in Texas, a dozen would show up to the funeral. So this is one of those that I remind everybody that's interested in wildlife, land management, our beautiful natural places in Texas, that whether you like it or not, this is probably the single most impactful thing we can all do for conservation is to work to get rid of pigs.
Well, I appreciate your time on a very interesting, insightful, even controversial issue. Thanks for giving us a really scientific look at all this. We thanks for your time. And everybody else out there, you get to make the decision how you feel about it, but we give you the information. We appreciate you being here and being an expert on this topic.
Thank you, sir.
All right, thanks. This season is brought to you by BAC Shows. Go to bacshows.com for information on great boat, sport, and RV shows in East Texas and Louisiana. And don't forget, Higher Calling Wildlife is brought to you by Texas Fish and Game. Go to fishgame.com to connect.
Thanks for listening to Higher Calling Wildlife. Find us on Facebook at Higher Calling Wildlife, at The Chester Moore on Instagram, and our blog at highercalling.net. To contact Chester, email chester@chestermoore.com.